Man, I want to welcome you, but I want to really like especially welcome you today. I always say, hey, welcome, thanks for coming, and I mean it every time. But in a world like ours right now, I especially welcome you to this event at Church on the Rock. Come on, everybody, I'm so glad you're here. Yeah. So I want to welcome all of those that call Church on the Rock their home. I want to welcome you if you're a guest. I want to welcome those that watch online and listen to our podcast. I love technology, and I love the fact that we can be connected whether we are near or far. So thank you so much for being a part of this church. It's an honor truly to host all of you. Would you just give it up one more time for everybody connected? You guys are great. Good to see you. Well, listen, we've been in a series that we've been calling In This House, and I had a message that was prepared for today, and honestly, I was super excited about it. I was like, oh man, this is going to be, I was just jazzed about it. Like, this is going to be a really good one, I felt like, and just felt like it was in time for our church. But Friday night after team night, I was in the car with my wife. We were just headed home and a little tired. It's been a pretty fast-paced week for our staff and our teams, dream teams and things like that. And so we were just kind of riding home. And I just felt this very, very strong impression from God that I should adjust the message for the weekend. I just felt very, very strongly that God was saying to me, hey, the world's mind is in a different place right now. And there's fear everywhere. And let's just meet them where they are. And let's talk about this issue that is taking the world by storm. And so I just very easily just said, okay, God, that's no problem. I'm just going to need your help. You know, you just show me what you want me to say and how you want me to communicate. And so I woke up yesterday morning and again, just felt strongly that God was wanting to change our direction. And so I just got before the Lord and I was able to put together an entirely new message. Did it in about 90 minutes, which let me just tell you, almost never happens, ever. It takes hours and hours and hours of preparation, really, for me to present a message to you, quite frankly. And I just knew it was just a real affirmation for me that, okay, God, like you are most definitely in this. And so I want to bring a message to us that I just think is pertinent to what all of us are thinking about and experiencing and hearing and seeing everywhere. And I really, really want to talk about that. So before I do, though, I want to give a couple of special recognitions, if I may. I want to just give a very special thank you to the Dream Team that helps us to put together these worship guides every week. So on Fridays, we have an amazing team, and they come in here, and they make sure that our weekend worship guide packet is assembled and put together for you. They all look the same. Everyone you open has the same order and excellence every single time, and I just want to thank you guys for being faithful to do that. But I want to give a special thank you to the team that helped me unpack all of those and repack all of those with today's message notes. I really appreciate that team that did that for us. Thank you so very much. And then a special shout out to our production team who came in early, extra early this morning just to provide today's message on the screen like we normally have it. So you guys are great and really just appreciate you. So give it up, would you, for those teams that do that specific mission for us. You guys are the best. I really thank you for your extra attention. I even told our team, like, look, just give them the wrong notes. It doesn't matter. And I'll tell them, well, I might preach it later. I don't know. No, we can do it, Pastor. We can pull it off. And so they did. They unpacked and repacked. And then I said, look, if we have a screen, great. And if we don't, no problem. And I'll go in early. And so you guys are amazing. And I love the heart of this house and just appreciate all the extra effort that made this excellent for you. And I could have just presented like normal and you wouldn't have known the difference, but I wanted to just applaud my team, okay? Thank you for letting me do that. But I want to speak to this issue. You know, all this is going on in this fear that is gripping people right now. And so I want to speak to this, and I feel like God did this, but I can fit today's message into our series. Come on, only God is that good, right? And so what I've been trying to do, I don't know if I've said this or not, but what I've been trying to do, we're calling the series In This House. And so what I've tried to do is make my sermon title complete the sentence. So In This House, something. In This House, something. And so today, my message title is this, that in this house, we walk by faith. Now, I know that's real churchy and it's super cliche. It's not all that razzle-dazzle for you, and so I apologize for the letdown. However, in this house, we do walk by faith. Amen. We do. And so whether it's cliche or not, we're called to that. And so I want to talk about faith today, and I really want to unpack what I feel God gave me for our house on more like how to do that. And what does that actually look like? Because it's a real friendly, churchy thing to say. But what does that really look like? pastor. And so I want to start here. It's all these are in your notes. You can get that note insert out of your worship guide if you want to. If you're not a note taker, everything will be on the screen as long as we don't have technical issues. And we've had some this morning. So look, if this thing messes up today, I got paper notes just like you got paper notes. We'll just default over there. Sound good, everybody? So Satan ain't going to win. Come on. He ain't going to win today. He can try to interrupt technology if he wants to, but he ain't going to beat us today. All right. Amen. I want this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, Church on the Rock. I want this to be something that you and I are standing on together as a church family. I really would like you to take this verse very specifically, very personally for the season that the world is in right now. And just as a family, I want all of us to stand on this verse right here. And it simply says this, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. This is not what God gives us. Now, I want to identify that there is a spirit of fear. That is a real thing. And the spirit of fear is imposing its will on the world right now. People are in panic. And people are very concerned about everything that's going on. And perhaps rightfully so, because the reality is this is impacting people. So I know that we have people on both sides of the spectrum on how they think about it. There are some people that are like, come on, it's being blown out of proportion. It's not that big a deal. And then we have people that are like, hey, man, like I'm feeling the direct effect on this on my life. So this is very much real. And then everywhere in between, what I want to say, declare, promote, call our church to is this, that the spirit of fear is not what God gives to his people. And so we need to purpose not to live in a spirit of fear. Yes. Amen. Amen. And so I want us to reject the spirit of fear in every single way possible. So when fear is rising up in us about all that's going on and everything going on around us, it's going to be our posture to say, this is not the spirit of God. This is not the spirit that God has placed on the inside of me. I am not dictated, governed, or guided by the spirit of fear, but rather I have been given a spirit of power. Yeah. And love and a sound mind. Yes. I want to declare some things, and I'm not going to spend lots and lots of time on this verse this morning, but you're going to see the words of this verse show up all day long. But I want to remind you, church, if you're walking with Christ Jesus, if you're a follower of his, you have a spirit of great power on the inside of you. And I think that constantly and all the time, the body of Christ is tempted, I'm as guilty as anybody ever has been in this, tempted to diminish in our own minds the power that we actually have on the inside of us. Yeah. Too oftentimes, I find myself really diminishing God's power to my abilities. I box it into like, well, can I answer it? Can I solve it? Can I overcome it? When really, it's not up to me because God has a power that goes beyond me. This is what a relationship with him, this is why it's so good. Because he gives me the ability to do what I cannot do for myself. I can't forgive myself of sin. I can't operate in a gift from God to impact other people's lives. This is what the power of God does for me. Come on, somebody. And so when fear is pressing in on me, I need to remind myself that I don't operate in a spirit of fear. That is not who I am. Who I am is a child of God, and I operate with a spirit of power, and it is his power, and it is bigger than me. Woo! Just getting started. And then, of course, go back, leave it up there, thank you. And then, of course, love. And I point this out because, listen, like, the God that we serve, which, by the way, one true living God, come on, that's parentheses today, like, he is real and alive and well. He doesn't do love good. He's not, like, the best at it. The Bible tells us that he is love, like in his essence and his being. Like, it just it permeates and perpetuates from him because it's who he is. And so when we get near the heart of God, the spirit of love begins to dwell within us. And then all of a sudden we begin to operate in a whole different way of thinking and attitude and function because we're operating out of the heart of our God, which is always rooted in love. Everything God does is out of love. Everything. Amen. And then I love these final words, and I intentionally highlighted all of these, but we have a sound mind. a sound mind. And so I want to talk about this just for a minute, because I'm encouraging us as a church family, let's be careful not to allow the spirit of fear to rise up within us, to press its agenda over on us. Let's make sure, though, that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. I have power, I have love, and I have been given a sound mind. And so I want to kind of talk to you just logistically for a second, if I may, just sort of as a church, because we've made a decision here at our church. And the decision is, as long as we are allowed to gather together and meet, we are going to do that. We're going to do that. Because we've chosen, God, we feel not, listen, anybody that's not meeting or not gathering does not mean that they don't have faith, that they don't trust God. Please do not hear what I'm not saying. I am in full support of all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus that are leading church families that have made decisions for certain reasons. I totally back them up and support them. Amen. Please don't. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could probably pick me apart today and be like, well, he said, no, 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 hear my heart, please. But in this house, I feel like God has called us to say, hey, if the doors are allowed to be opened, we're going to open them up. Amen. I heard a hero of mine in the faith this week loved what he said. He said in the midst, he leads an amazing church, and he said in the midst of all of this that's going on, they will not close the doors to the hospitals. Right. They will allow people to come and find rescue. And he said, in my opinion, I would love to see the body of Christ maintain the same attitude, and just because people need a place to go. Right. And so our heart is simply to say, hey, as long as we are allowed to meet, if no one's telling us that we shouldn't meet, then we're going to meet, because we just have determined, hey, we're just going to be people of faith. We're not going to let the spirit of fear dictate how we function. However, we are going to operate with a very sound mind. Yes. And so what we have the opportunity to do is listen to guidance and hey, you know, like, what is going on? And so if our gatherings exceed a number that they recommend for people's well-being, then guess what we're going to do? We're not going to come together in this atmosphere. Why? Because we have a sound mind. So here's the thing. I can only be concerned and manage what I can control. So the spirit of fear tries to impress on me, be worried about all the things you can't control. I'm not going to do that. Because it's not good for me to do that. So you know what? I'm going to ignore the things that I can't control and trust those to God. But the things that I can control, I will operate with a very sound mind about. So personally, like, I'm washing my hands with soap more often than normal. I cannot stand hand sanitizer, and I'm using it right now. I don't like that stuff. I don't know why. It makes my hands feel slimy, and I don't like lotions and stuff. I actually want calluses. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a man. Come on. And amen. I don't know if my wife agrees with that, but I want some rough hands. I'm a dude. But you know what? But I'm using a sound mind right now. And if that's what they're suggesting for my good, then hey, I can control that. And so let me do things like that. And so as a church, this is how we're going to operate. And so I want to say this. I want to invite all of you. Like, I don't think it's ever mattered more than it matters right now. If you have never been to churchontherock.net, that's our website, I would really encourage you to go visit our website this week. Begin to get yourself familiar with what it looks and feels like and how to function on our website, because this is where we're going to be throwing out some updates and constant news. We're going to talk to you from that platform. I also would say that if you've never subscribed to Church on the Rock's YouTube channel, which you can link to, by the way, from our website, this is the time to do it right now, because we live in an unbelievable age where technology gives us the ability to stay connected even if we can't be in the same room together. So if we get to a place where sound-mindedness invites us not to gather on Sunday mornings, I plan to preach every single week. We plan to offer you as much life-giving content as we possibly can. We are going to stay consistent. We're going to continue our mission. We are not going to stop doing what God has called us to do. We're just going to do it through technology. So I'll stand right here, and I'll preach to that lens and do my best to see your faces. Come on, I'm gonna talk to you through the avenues of technology so it will not hinder us from being inspired, being called, hearing vision, knowing what God is calling us to do. So I'm just really encouraging you to do it. And listen, I gotta say it. I gotta say it. Don't be that person. Just don't be that person. It's like, I don't do the technology thing. That's past me. But listen, stop it. What an opportunity for you to grow. What an opportunity for your mind to expand. Find somebody that understands how all this stuff works and say, hey man, I don't know what .NET means. Can you help me? Yes, we will help you. Hey, I've never been on YouTube. I hear people talk about it. I've never even tried it. Well, come on, man. It's really, really cool. And somebody can show you. Don't miss the opportunity to stay connected. Amen, everybody? Amen. So let's get into the content today. Let's talk about this. I want to unpack today's message. I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament of the Bible. I really feel like God gave me everything for today in a timely way, really. I want to take you, though, to the season of biblical history where all of God's people, the Hebrew people, are held in slavery in Egypt. And God has sent Moses, I want you to go and get my people out. You're the leader, you're the voice, I want you to go and get them. And I want you to lead my people out so that they can learn to walk with me and learn to worship me and learn to have a relationship with me. They're under the oppression of slavery. And so I want to take you to sort of the end of this whole story, the way that God has been moving to invite his people out and for Egypt to set them free. And I want to take you to Exodus chapter 11. We're going to look at the first verse. And watch this. The Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will send just one more disaster. Skirt, what? What? You're gonna send just one more, like, baffles me a little bit, right? Which I know what some of you are thinking, like, Pastor, are you saying that God is doing this? Are you saying that God sent this? Here's what I'm saying, God's in control. Amen. That's what I'm saying. Amen. God is in control always. No matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, no matter how it affects or impacts us, our God is always in control. Amen. So he says, I'm gonna send just one more disaster on Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. Question, where were all of God's people? They were in the land of Egypt. So here is God trying to do something that Egypt doesn't understand and that Israel cannot understand. Everybody's freaking out a little bit. Now, all these plagues, and you can, totally cool story. The Bible's awesome. Check it out, book of Exodus. Just read this way. Go like 10, 9, 8, right? And just check it out. You can read all these plagues and these things that God begins to do to show his power, to show that he is God. And the interesting thing is it's having adverse effects on people everywhere. Everywhere. But God is sovereign. And he has a plan, and he can see what we cannot see, and he understands what we do not understand, and he knows that he's doing something that's for his glory and our good. Amen. And then after that, Pharaoh will let you go. In fact, he'll be so anxious to get rid of you that he will practically force you to leave. In other words, all this stuff that's going on that nobody is understanding is so that you can find freedom. God makes beauty from ashes. God takes the enemy's attempts to hurt us and turns them into our good. Come on, like this is who our God is. Why? I don't understand it. Doesn't make sense to me. God, I wish it was a little easier. God, I wish it was a little nicer for me. And God's saying, I need you to trust me, son. I need you to trust me, daughter. I've got this in control. I have my hands on this. You are not forgotten. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Amen. Amen. Let's go to verse 3. I want to show you something that I find very interesting just two verses later. Now the Lord had caused the Egyptians to do what? Look favorably on the people of Israel. I find this especially interesting because the people of Israel didn't even really like Moses right now. They're like, bro, I know you're trying to help and all that, but stop it. This is getting crazy. But all the while, Egypt, the ones holding God's people captive, start to get a favorable eye towards the people of God. It's interesting to me. And Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt. He was respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people alike. Here's what I want you to hear me say. God is giving us, Church of on the Rock, Church of Christ, the body of Christ at large, he's giving us an opportunity to gain a positive reputation as God's people in adverse times. He is. God can use, when it gets the darkest, the light shines the brightest. Yeah. And we're called to be the light of the world. This is who we are. And I believe that God is saying, hey, if you operate in a spirit of fear, it's not gonna light the world up. But if you will push back against the spirit of fear, operate in the power that I've given you, love the people around you, have a sound mind, be wise, be practical, make some good decisions. But if you'll just be the kinds of people that just follow me with direction and with my authority and put your hope in me, put your faith in me, I'm gonna cause you to rise up and adverse times. People's eyes need to see our Heavenly Father, everybody. And how else are they going to see it other than us? We're the mission. I don't know why God does it, but he called people to represent him in the earth. Flawed, broken, sinful, jacked up you and me. That's who he called. And so if I'm going to act like the world acts, I'm not going to represent them well, but if I can act like the Spirit of God acts, then I can be a bright light in a dark world right now. And I just think that we have an opportunity to be a light. So I want to, so how then, like, how do I walk by faith in this season? I just want you to write just a few things, just four words today. The first thing I want you to write is this, that we're going to trust God in all circumstances. How do I walk by faith? You trust God in all circumstances, which is a super nice thing to say on a Sunday. It's really easy to say amen to. You know, you just want to be like, that's right, Pastor, you preach it. That's the truth. Amen. And I appreciate when you do that a lot. Until the circumstances for you are bad, and then it changes. Now, I'm not saying you still wouldn't say amen or that you still don't believe it, but it's hard to do when the circumstances, amen, when they are not in your favor. And I just want to say to us that Christian, Christ follower in this room, we are called to walk by faith, meaning we have to trust our God no matter what is going on, no matter how it is affecting us, and no matter how good or bad it may be, I have to have a resolve that, God, I trust you. I don't like this. I don't understand this. I don't want to be going through this. I don't want this to impact or affect me, but God, I trust you. And it's a hard thing to do. I would even encourage you, some of your prayer lives might need to sound like, hey, God, I'm really struggling not to be led by the spirit of fear. I'm worried. I'm concerned. This is getting to me. God, help me to trust you. I think you can be that honest with God because God knows you better than you do. So if you're freaking out, it's like, I think that God says, that's okay. I think he has compassion for his children. He says, hey, it's okay. But listen to me, I'm gonna help you. I feel like God's saying, if you'll get near me, you can trust me. Don't worry. Let me teach you how to walk in faith. Let me teach you how to trust me. I'm a good father. I have this under control. And so it's my responsibility as a Christ follower is just to simply trust God, even when I do not understand, even when the circumstances are bad. The Bible says, a couple of verses, the Bible says that we have to walk by faith, not by sight. And right now, if we just go by what we see, it's not awesome. It doesn't look great, but God, I trust you. My faith and my hope, Lord God, is in you. And I will walk with you, and whether I like it or I don't, or it's good or it's bad, God, I trust you in all circumstances. Now, I want to take you to a verse now that is going to kind of finish the day for us. And it's found in Ephesians. We're going to read like the first portion of it here, and then after point number two, when you write a couple other things, we're going to read the second portion of it. But this is the Apostle Paul, and he's communicating to the church. And so specifically, it's the Ephesian church, but I want us to just hear this as if he's writing a letter to Church on the Rock this morning. And this is what he's saying. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with what? With power. It's a familiar sounding word. Through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through what?
Faith.
Through faith. And I want to point a couple of things out that he's saying, I need you to be strengthened. I'm praying that you would be strengthened by God's power. Don't forget that we have a spirit of power. Our God is almighty. He is a powerful God. I feel like Paul is like emphasizing, don't forget that there's a strength inside of you that comes from heaven. There is such power inside of the believer that we don't oftentimes tap into, and it's good enough to strengthen your inner being. So the world around you can be in complete chaos, but you're strong on the inside. Your inner being is stable. I'm okay. I can trust God in all circumstances because I'm strong on the inside. So regardless of what's going on the outside, I'm stable on the inside. God is strengthening my inner being. What am I not gonna do? Worry about the things that I cannot control. What am I gonna do? Have a sound mind about the things that I can control. I'm gonna chase God's heart, tap into his power, and say, God, please strengthen my inner being so that I am strong and stable when everything around me is going crazy. I need to be a light for you, God, when things are so dark around me. Come on, is this touching anybody's heart? All right, write something else with me, and then we're gonna close this thing together. So not only do I need to trust God in all circumstances, but check it out, Christian, we need to stick together in all circumstances. Stick together. Like, be the family of God. This is a lot of the reason that I said, guys, I just think we need to meet if we can meet. Let's stick together. And I know that not everybody's gonna feel comfortable to come. That's awesome. That's why we use technology. We get it. It's okay. Maybe in their sound-mindedness, it's best for them to watch from home for a couple of weeks. Okay, absolutely, totally acceptable. We love your heart, we love you, and if that's what's best for you, then we will serve you that way. That's why I love all this technology that we have. But man, for those of us that say, hey, like this is my stance right now, by the way. If you're shaking hands, I'm shaking your hand. If you're hugging, I'm hugging you back. That's just me. But you're gonna have to come at me because I'm just trying to respect those that say, hey, look, I'm trying to use a sound mind. They say we shouldn't be touching a lot, and I don't really want to fist bump you. Well, okay, that's like, am I making sense? Like, I totally respect that. And so I'm gonna give you the space that you are asking for, and I'm gonna make sure, because I want to respect your sound mind. Me, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little crazy, but I'm just like, come. I don't know. I just want to reemphasize. I'm sorry. My little touch thing is not working today. We've had all kind of tech issues, y'all. But I want to encourage us that we need to stick together in all circumstances. We need to stick together in a time like this. We need to maintain a heart of togetherness always because we're better together. All right, we can go to my verse now. Thank you, guys. Ephesians. I want to finish this prayer that Paul is praying. He's communicating to the church of Ephesus, and he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in what?
Love.
In love. Aren't these words starting to sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Power and love. And then he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have, there it is again, power together with all the Lord's holy people. He starts pointing to a strength of togetherness. Be together in this. Stick together, stay tight, don't lose the connection. And he said, and then you're gonna grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep the love of Christ actually is. Church, I wanna encourage you, we gotta stick together. What an opportunity right now for the body of Christ to look different to the world than the world. And in this house, it's just my heart to say, guys, and let's not let the spirit of fear be what influences our lives. Let's operate in power and love and sound mindedness. Let's strengthen the inner man. Let's stay together. Because here's the reality, if we're not together and the chips are down for you, how can we help you? Like, how do we know? Because here's the reality, this is a family. This is not some organization at an address. This is a family. We are real people in a very real world, living with real challenges and real struggles and real temptations and real problems, right? I am. Over at my house, that's what it looks like. And so sometimes in my family, somebody's not doing well, but someone else is doing great. Well, guess what? When I'm doing great, I can pour out on you in love and help you do better. And you know what? There might come a day where you're not doing great. And you know what? You're connected. And there's a family that says, hey, let me pull you up because I live in love. I love you. And because we're connected together in family, I'm gonna help you. You're not gonna walk through this alone. I'm praying for you. I'm standing with you. I'm believing God with you. Hey, I have the resource that you lack. I got it. You need a lawnmower? I got one. I'm gonna help you, right? However practically it may look, we're a family. And so I just want us in this house to maintain this heart and this attitude that this is about each other. This is about chasing the purpose of God together. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna trust God. We're just gonna trust God in all circumstances, including this one. God, we trust you. You have a greater plan. And we know you're trying to do great things in people's lives. So however it affects us for your mission, we trust you, God, in all circumstances. And what are we gonna do? We're gonna stick together in all circumstances. Hey, the chips are down, we're together. They're up, we're together. Things are tough, we're together. Things are great, we're together. We're gonna win together and lose together. Amen. Come on, I just want in this house us to have a family mindset. I love you like family. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I wanna end the service the way I always do. Every service at Church in the Rock is ended this way, regardless of the topic or the communicator. And what I wanna do is I want to invite you, if you're not a part of God's family, I wanna invite you into God's family. Everybody's welcome in the house of God. Everybody's welcome in our church. We like to say it this way, everybody's welcome because nobody's perfect. And Jesus died on the cross for our imperfections. The Bible says that his mercy, it is new every morning. God makes a promise that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God is always close. And some of you have recognized though that you are far from him. You're far from God. And you have a desire to be near him. You say, Pastor, I wanna be in the family of God. Well, guess what? We can make that happen right now. Now in the New Testament of your Bibles, in the book of John, Jesus makes this statement. He's quoted in that book and he says this. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to my Father except through me. This is why Jesus is so significant, because he's the bridge that covers the chasm between where we are and where God is. And so whether you are in this room right now, watching this on YouTube, listening to a podcast, I wanna invite you, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I'd like to invite you to do that right now. And here's how we're gonna do it. I'm not gonna ask you to stand or walk to the front or any of those things. I'm simply gonna ask you right where you are to make a decision. And with that decision, I'm gonna ask you to say a prayer with me. This is one of my favorite parts of the service. I'm gonna lead you in a prayer and I just want you to simply repeat after me. Now church family, you know how we do it. Every Sunday, I always ask everybody to say this prayer with me loud and confidently, because I want the people who are saying it for the first time to be able to say it with boldness and conviction. And so here we go, you ready? I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart, forgive me of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am, it is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Church, would you give it up for those that made that decision for the first time? You guys are awesome. I love you guys.